welcome to the Miracle Nutrition Thanksgiving Special with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we celebrate the giving of thanks, the taking of thanks, the giving of your welcomes, and the acceptance of your welcomes, homecomings, and family time. But most of all, we celebrate what we always think about when we think about Thanksgiving, and that is gourds. All types of gourds. Put down that turkey leg and pick up your night vision goggles because it's the 175th annual Dubay Brothers Department Store Thanksgiving Night Parade. The stuffing is gone, the wishbones are drying on a paper towel on the bay window ledge, the sweet potato casserole topped with mini marshmallows sits unmolested and pristine amid the detritus of a ravished meal. And so it's time for a parade in total darkness. Hi, this is Hardy White. There is nothing especially unique about a nighttime parade. They have those at Disney Kingdom. But what makes this one unique is that there are no twinkling lights, no blasts of trumpets and zoobophones. This parade is in total profound darkness and eerie arresting silence, the only event of its kind, and it's been going on for decades and delighting generations who marvel at its lack of spectacle and delight in its exuberant silence. It started as a dream by Dubay Brothers founder, the Brothers Dubay. A dream to stage a parade that reflected what we all feel on Thanksgiving night, a sort of full emptiness, a place where all desires have been fulfilled, all appetites sated, leaving only dreamless sleep and symbolic death. It's changed a lot in those 175 years, though there's no objective way to prove that, but the one constant is that there are no sights, no sounds, leaving a vast empty canvas for the spectator to fill with their personal imagination, which always exceeds the constraints of reality. This parade has exactly what you want to see and hear. I'm joined tonight by my good friend Lou Register. What have you got there, Lou?
A shotgun.
A shotgun? Why?
You asked me if I wanted to ride a shotgun.
No, I said, do you want to ride shotgun?
Oh, I thought you were doing it in your fake Russian accent. Do you want to ride shotgun?
No, ride shotgun means sit next to me.
Oh, well, if you change your mind, I have something to ride. Also, you said bring something Thanksgiving-y.
I meant like a cornucopia.
This is like a cornucopia, except instead of shooting grapes and apples and stuff, it shoots shot.
Cornucopias don't shoot anything.
Yeah, they do, but you gotta light the little end, and then boom, 50s fruit salad.
Also, that looks more like a rifle.
Actually, it is. It's an old breech loader. Breech loader means that the baby it fires comes out of the barrel feet first. I have a few different firearms.
What do you shoot with them?
Bullets?
No, I mean, at what do you shoot?
Bullets. They make for a very challenging target. And it's borderline meta. When we shoot guns with guns, then it's full on.
That is meta.
As an aside, I would like to point out that James Garner's longtime super agent's name is pronounced Meta Rosenberg, not to be confused with Meta Goldberg, who is a Goldberg about a Goldberg.
Well, I can't tell by looking, but according to the schedule, our parade is about to begin, and it's being led by its traditional first act, the Jolly Cobblest Mummers Band.
I can only imagine how magically elaborate their costumes are.
No truer words have been spoken, since there's no way to confirm what they are wearing. But you can be assured that their outfits are grand and spectacular. Some are constructed from the feathers of long-extinct birds preserved for thousands of years in the secret caves of the mummers' cults. The headdress on the leader is made of hundreds of precious gems, gold and silver, and the finest silk, much of it taken from the robes of Tang Dynasty emperors. Though some of the headdresses are made of feathers, some are actually constructed of live birds, who lift the musicians off the ground so that as they march, they appear to be walking on the moon, their steps punctuated by slow, graceful leaps.
Now, I know this is a band, but I'm not hearing any music or banjos or anything like traditional mummers.
Ah, but these are the original mummers, who still keep entirely mum.
I have a British friend who calls his mother mum.
Right.
And he calls his grandma mummer.
Oh, how about that?
And his great-grandma mummist.
Well, judging from the clock on the wall, the mummers must be passing just now. And next up is our first float. It's an entry from S.C. Johnson called Glade Air Fresheners Through the Years.
I bet it's a big spray can mounted at an angle on a flatbed so it looks like a Russian Army parade missile.
That's a very good guess. Who knows? The interesting thing about this entry is that you might not be able to see the shiny cans or hear the sss of the aerosol, but you can smell their familiar scents.
They don't sell the empty cans because they make no sense.
Did you just think of that?
No, you wrote it on my script, but I'll take credit for it. What would you call that odor?
It smells like bathroom spray or whatever.
Whenever I smell air freshener, in my mind, I add to it the odors it usually covers up, and that sort of grosses me out. Also, why cover up odors? Just clean your nasty shack.
This smells like a flower, but with detergent in it or alcohol.
That's me after a party, filled with flowers, detergent, and alcohol.
Our next float is an entry from Jackson Craft Funeral Home, and it's called Hearse Rehearse, the History of Funeral Coaches Through the Ages.
I want to be taken to the cemetery in the bed of an El Camino, holding a beer can in one hand and some magic potion that brings the dead back to life in the other. Only because I'm selfish and curious and want to see who's at my funeral.
This is a perfect entry for the parade since Western burial customs are so drab, dark, and silent.
I want a bling funeral.
A what?
A bling funeral. You know, my granny is from the islands, and I want a bright, loud, colorful, celebratory funeral, or my duppy is going to haunt your boring self. If I'm about to lie still and silent for eternity, the last thing I want at my send-off is somber silence and black dresses.
Good point. What's our next parade entry, Lou?
Says here, it's a giant balloon character. Oh, those are fun. Who is it? It's Benny the Ball from the cartoon Top Cat. Oh, that's an old favorite. Of yours?
Well, be happy for me.
Also, it says there's a balloon of artist Cork Schwitters. Tell us about that, Hardy.
Voom, bavarate, say ooh. This giant balloon of the Hanover surrealist and composer of the Ursonata, Cork Schwitters, is constructed out of 10,000 pieces of trash and other items, such as train tickets, cigarette packs, and other found materials, comprising what is thought to be the largest three-dimensional collage balloon in the world today. And these balloons are brought to you by Mertz Hardware Stores, everything you need for your insane, all-consuming sculptures.
Hey! It's our first celebrity.
It's the famous actor Michael Shannon.
Oh, I like him. And he's scariest when he's not saying anything, so this is perfect. But why didn't the parade get a bigger named actor?
Bigger named actor? He's been in dozens of feature films and television. He was in Superman, for Pete's sake. Besides, the parade goes by talent, not popularity. What do you want from people?
Isn't he going to be in a film adaptation of Paul Auster's New York trilogy?
I haven't heard that.
Oh, that would be great, man. I love Thanksgiving.
While we're waiting for me to think up the next parade entry, Lou, why don't you tell me what you're thankful for?
Well, that's a hard question. I looked up the definition for thankful, and it said to have gratitude. So I looked up gratitude, and it said to be thankful. But it also mentions something about appreciating kindness. And I definitely appreciate kindness. So I guess I'm thankful that I appreciate kindness, because many do not.
Oh, that's interesting.
Let me turn the question around on you. How often do you use the restroom for number two?
But, Lou, what kind of question is that? That's not what turning the question around on you means.
I thought you turn it around until it's a different question.
No.
Also, the correct answer is always.
What?
To the question, how often do you use the bathroom for number two? Always. Unless sometimes you go out back by the shed.
No.
I don't know your habits, man. For that, I'm thankful.
What's the next float?
It says it's an entry from the Spokeman Group Insurance Company, and it's the singer Up With Person.
Oh, he used to be with Up With People.
Right, but he left when Glenn Close left and did a solo thing.
But I don't hear anything.
No, he gave up singing. Now his act consists of standing in front of the audience and engaging just with his eyes and hand motions. It's compelling.
People go to see that.
Yeah, and he's backed up by naked dancers.
Oh, okay. So there's naked people down there on the float.
So I'm told.
Well, that's kind of a waste. I hope they're comfortable. Clothes should be a comfort issue, not a moral one.
In the dark.
Oh, Lord, yes, I meant in the dark. I'm not ready for a world without clothes.
Hey, Hardy, what's that I don't hear?
Well, that's a familiar sound. That's the blowing in the wrong end brass band.
So what sounds like a light breeze is them blowing gently into the bells of their trumpets. Subtle.
Brass bands can get very loud, but this way we can enjoy the spectacle,
or lack of one, or lack of one, as well as the absence of deafening horns.
It almost sounds like later Miles.
It's definitely stripped down to nothing.
I'm getting a new appreciation for nothing.
Oh, good.
Before I met you and knew nothing about the parade, I thought I always needed something. But now I see that nothing is entertaining.
I'm glad I could help.
Can I do the next float?
Sure.
The next float is brought to you by Larmouth Construction Company, and it's basically a skyscraper built entirely out of glass and steel and riding on the back of a flatbed truck. It took thousands of workers years to construct this, and it's an exact replica in every way of a modern high-rise building, complete with office space and bathrooms and even a basement swimming pool.
All of that rolling majestically down the parade route. Amazing. That's a lot of effort and money to get it to be so exact.
Yeah, the original, they built out of tissue paper. But you know, wind, physics.
When humans put their minds to something, they can conceive of doing anything.
There is nothing the human imagination can't think about doing.
What a world I imagine we live in.
Like the song says, imagining is easy and accomplishes nothing.
Imagine there's no 40-minute wait at your favorite restaurant.
You could change the world that way.
I imagine you could.
First dream, then plan, then do, then be disappointed.
I stop at dream usually and I'm fine.
Not every funny idea should be a feature film.
Our next entry are the Startle Singers. They're a group that boards subway cars and then spontaneously breaks out into a rendition of a famous Broadway song, like Tomorrow Belongs to Me from Cabaret.
I saw them do the Ballad of Sweeney Todd on the PATH train, and they were swinging real razors wild.
Well, tonight they're doing a medley of the silent bits of musicals.
A lot of time the magic is in the notes you don't play.
And if you don't play any notes,
pure magic. I don't go to many Broadway shows.
Oh, why? You should.
Well, the same reason I don't stay at the St. Regis when I come to town. You know me. I'm sort of frugal because I'm broke. For a while, I was auditioning for Broadway plays just so I could see them. Made it in one time. Got to be in Lion King. Spent the whole show with a damn giraffe head on. Couldn't see...
Lou, radio. We're on radio.
Dang, sometimes I forget.
Hey, next up is Santa.
Santa Claus?
It doesn't say.
Could be any saint.
True.
Remember, last year it was St. Lucy, and she had that tray of eyeballs that she'd throw at the children.
Oh, that was something.
The year before, it was St. Dennis holding his decapitated head that would ask the kids what they wanted for Christmas.
I was also impressed with the Hanukkah float where they had Judah Maccabee screaming, "Death to the Seleucid Empire!"
Yes, me too. That opened the door for my Papagede float. For that, I am grateful.
Include all or don't bother. This might, in fact, be Santa Claus, though. As we know, the historic St. Nicholas is the patron saint of pawn shops. So this year's St. Nick float is sponsored by Folger Gun and Pawn. Do you really need a cappuccino machine, or would you rather pay your bills? Bring it on down to Folger Gun and Pawn, and we'll give you cash for that gift that was given to you with thought and love and for which you have no appreciation.
I pawned my baby teeth.
At a pawn shop? They take teeth?
No, but there's this burglar chick that does. I got a quarter for each tooth.
There seems to be a gap in the parade now.
How can you tell?
There's a big blank spot in the script.
I'm getting cold out here.
I know, man. Also, it seems unusually dark. I literally cannot see my hand in front of my face.
I couldn't see Michael Keaton as Batman, but I think he pulled it off.
Seriously, though, it feels like a sensory deprivation tank. Lou, do you know something I don't?
I know a lot of things you don't.
Is this really a parade broadcast booth?
Hey, what is real anyway?
Dang it, Lou, I'm in a sensory depro tank, aren't I?
Just a little bit.
I knew it.
You were sort of sleepy after dinner, so I had you lie down in the tank. And the next thing you know, you're imagining us calling a parade.
Man, it seems so real.
It was. It was great. It doesn't have to be literally real. Besides, that's terrible for the environment. Your imagination is a fine place to reflect on gratitude. My thankfulness expands when I can expand my world with my imagination.
I know. I get impatient with people in the world when I just use my senses. I have to reflect and put it in perspective to see more of the goodness in things.
The brass bands distract you. The obvious distracts you. Look at the subtle world and be amazed and delighted.
Thank you, Lou.
Kidding aside, I'm thankful for your love and friendship. And nothing spectacular has to happen today. I'm content to just be sitting here in silence with you in the dark, knowing that you're there. That's enough. Love and peace are rare.
If you have them, know what you have.
I brought love and peace to the Antiques Roadshow, and they said, do you know what you got there? And I said, it's just something that's been in my family for years. And they said, you know how rare this is? And I said, I thought it was everywhere. And they said, no, it's very rare and desirable. And I was like, it's just something that's always been around. And honest to gosh, we would just use it to open cans and wipe our boots.
You don't know what you have until you have it appraised.
I immediately started looking in our family for more valuable stuff. I found petty quarreling and political differences of opinion, but apparently those are pretty common.
Don't get rid of that peace and love, or at least keep a little back like sourdough starter. Then you can use it to make endless loaves of hearty white love and peace bread.
Hey, do you want a popover?
I'm already here.
No, I mean a popover. It's like a really airy light muffin.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I forgot. I made them for Thanksgiving, and they just came out of the oven steaming hot. Put some butter on it. Let it melt.
Hey, this is good. You got any other recipe suggestions? What'd y'all cook for Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, there's a lot of dietary restrictions in my family, so I made my famous stone soup and imaginary pate, which the dog promptly lapped up.
Oh, no, that's tragic and funny.
It was funny looking back. Oh, I miss my family.
Where are they now?
Dead, mostly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, they were old. And it happened gradually over time.
Well, you still have your memories.
Kind of. I mean, I got a lot of memories in my family. But Thanksgivings are not one of them. I mean, we celebrated Thanksgiving every single year, and we'd have a big Thanksgiving dinner, and my grandmother would make turkey and with stuffing or dressing, depending on what part of the country we were from that year. And all sorts of things, all the other stuff that goes with it. As you can see, I don't remember any of it. But I remember there's lots of food, obscene amount of food. And it depends what relatives were there. Some years when I was younger and a lot of my great aunts and uncles were alive, they would come over and Uncle Victor would sit there in his short sleeve white shirt with a tie and his thinning gray hair and saying nothing and look like an elderly Wally Cox. But he wasn't elderly. I thought everybody was old at the time, but they weren't. They were younger than I am now. But we didn't say much at the table. Nobody argued. We'd just smile politely, and people would say, hey, I like that new Oldsmobile. And my grandfather would say, I'm a Cadillac man, or something like that. I don't remember. That's as heated as it got. But I don't remember it because nothing really ever happened. We were together, but we were always together. If we lived in a town where there was family, we would always see our family. And nobody really came in from out of town. As I got older, though, I'd remember more Thanksgivings because there'd be less people there. Near the end, and I say the end before I moved away, you know, and you get older and you don't come back as much. I remember one Thanksgiving where something dramatic did happen. We just finished up. We were over at my aunt and uncle's house. And my uncle was rubbing the end of his amputated leg after dinner the way most people rub their belly. And the phone rang. And my grandmother's cousin had died. He's a big fat man. I'm not going to, no other way to put it. He's a beautiful, gentle, friendly guy. And he was out after Thanksgiving dinner taking a walk with his little fat daughter. God bless him. Now, oh, they were all morbidly obese, but because they like to eat. I don't blame him at all for that. But he dropped dead right there, just heart gave out. And he collapsed there right after Thanksgiving, right after everybody's giving thanks and all. Oh, we don't know when we're going to be called home. And by that, I mean struck dead. I didn't like going home, is it, at all? That's not much of a homecoming. Oh, my goodness. Would you rather go to your granny's house with the smell of home cooking or a coffin? Well, I don't know. I'm gonna take my granny's house. It's the smells, too, isn't it? Oh, smells trigger memories. Because smells go into the part of your head where your brain is. And so there's lots of memories there. So the smells, they hook up like lonely people at a club at the end of the night. And the smells say, come on, be with you forever. And so that every time you smell a certain fragrance, or something, it doesn't even have to be pleasant. You go, oh, that's that rotten egg smell they put in gas. That reminds me of my great-grandmother's basement. Always. And then there's, I tell you what reminds me of my grandma here. I got a little song for you. It's in song form. I got seasonal air freshener. I got seasonal air freshener. I got sneezing. Oh, I said sneezing all that time. Well, if it's allergies, then it is sneezing allergies. I ought to be an advertising agent. I should have gone into that. I should have gone into ad work. I didn't think about it. Is it more like Mad Men or Bewitched? When I was coming up as Bewitched, I think it liked that more. I don't remember Darren throwing up from alcohol or anything during the show. And he wouldn't get sick anyway. Come home and say, oh, my darling Samantha, I got cancer from all the stress of the advertising work. And she'd go, dinka, 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 dinka. I said, what's that? Say, I just made it go away with one of my spells. She could make it so no one would ever die. Was she a witch? Is that a witch? Can they do that? Do they never die? Or is she a time lord? I don't remember. I don't remember the show that well. Something. Some kind of being that lives forever. I wonder if that was even her true form. She looked like Elizabeth Montgomery. But in her true form, she's kind of brown and slimy and about 2 feet tall with four eyes. And by four eyes, I mean she wore glasses. Bless her heart. But she had to take some other form because she felt she needed to be loved and that Darren couldn't love her if she looked like she really did. Do we feel we couldn't be loved if we had our real true form? A lot of people dread these Thanksgiving dinners, getting together with family, because they're nothing like their family. A lot of people are adopted, like a lot of swans and duck families and everything. And ducks are horrible, horrible racists. And then they see you're a swan. Is it the other way around? I don't remember. Ugly duck. Who rejected whom in that story? The swans didn't like the ducks? I forget who I'm for. I know geese are bitey, so I avoid them. That's my only prejudice. Otherwise, I like all fowl. I guess, except turkeys. You don't like turkeys? Well, I mean, if you eat something, does that mean you love it? I mean, think about that. Seems pretty horrible. I love turkeys, so I consume them with my mouth, and I turn them into waste. But they do give me energy. How spiritual. We are what we eat. So you're a big turkey. That's where that joke comes from. I don't remember why people used to call each other turkeys. Because, as you know, Ben Franklin wanted to make the turkey the first president because he thought, man, George Washington, I like him and all. Super smart. You know, he is very compelling, though, because he doesn't talk a lot because his teeth hurt and people mistake that for being profound. And so Washington was able to lead like that. Also, he's about an inch taller than everybody else. And back then, they thought that was a big deal. So if someone is tall in stature, it must mean that they are noble. Because what noble person would be small? And that would irk Napoleon. And he would say, hey, it doesn't matter your size. Doesn't matter if you're small, brown, and gooey with four eyes. If you're also a witch and can heal cancer, I guess that's what matters. I like getting together with people for any excuse. And I think Thanksgiving is a good one. And I believe that that's the origin of the holiday. You say, oh, no, it has to do with pilgrims. But I believe the fact that it's a national holiday was a holiday of homecoming. It's time to go back to your home. It doesn't have much to do with those people came over with the funny hats. I don't know anything about them. I'm not going to lie to you. I know they wore like sort of funny black hats with a belt buckle on them and then held their pants up with a hat band. But other than that, I don't know anything about their beliefs or anything. Oh, they might have worn little white aprons and persecuted Samantha's kind, which I don't think is right. Come on now. But I don't know anything about them. We used to play Pilgrim when I was a kid. We'd all get together, and they'd say, oh, I'm going to be the head captain, Pilgrim. And they say, what are you going to do, Hardy? And I would say, oh, I'm the fella that gets a toothache, and then it gets infected, and then it gets up in his brain, and then he has a bad headaches and infection, and he dies within a month. I said, why would you want to be him? I said, well, I told my mom I'd be back in an hour, and so I don't want to be anybody important in the community. So I'll basically spend my time on this cot shivering, and that's kind of Pilgrim I would be. I think anyway, that's if in real life, I'd be that way. I don't feel very sturdy and strong. I can't imagine fleeing my country now or my house or anything. I don't like to be who likes to be uncomfortable? Nobody does. But I say you get older and you think, I can't tolerate as much as I used to. It's hard for me to sleep as it is. I certainly can't sleep on a couch that smells like beer like I did in the past. When I go to towns now and say, hey, Hardy, you're welcome to crash on my couch. I say, that's great. If your couch is a king-size bed in a hotel, I'm going to take you up on it. And the only reason is because I wake up multiple times at night for various reasons. Sometimes I need to put the light back on and do the crossword puzzle, all that. Sometimes I get a song idea. I say, you know what? This can only be composed on a trumpet. And I don't play the trumpet well, so I have to practice trumpet all night long. You don't want that, do you? You'd be more comfortable somewhere else. My grandfather, and this even went for Thanksgiving, when my uncle was coming in town, I don't think he cared. For I can say this now because everybody in this story is dead. He didn't care very much for my uncle's wife. And so he'd always say to them, I think you'd be more comfortable in a hotel. What he didn't say is, because I hate you. But what he was trying to be, cagey about his lack of hospitality, putting people away. I tell you, hurt my uncle's feelings forever. Long after my grandfather was gone, he took that personally. Long after he had divorced that woman that he didn't even like, he took it personally. Felt rejected. If family won't have you, who will? A lot of people say, oh, but my family doesn't like me, Hardy. Oh, that's easy. Expand your definition of family. Because a lot of people that share the genes with you or brought you up as a child, they're flawed, maybe. Maybe they're worse than flawed. Maybe they're awful. That doesn't mean you're unlovable and don't deserve it. And don't deserve a family. And people find one another, don't they? People who need somebody, they find one another sometimes. That's so beautiful. People say, my family is my adopted family. All these strays, Hardy, who don't go home at the holidays. We all get together at my house and we have a tiki-themed Thanksgiving in that fun. I say, yes. Yes, you're being family for one another. And I tell you what doesn't happen at those family gatherings is ugly arguments. You know, because everybody wants to be there. And you can make your own real family like that. You just stop it in the middle. Somebody starts to be tension, you go, stop for 1 minute. I want to say something. Right now. I want to say something about family, about being together, about being thankful. I'm not even sure what being thankful means. I know that I love it when people love me. I know that I feel peaceful when people are peaceful around me. I know that I like it when we're all smiling and we all have joy in our hearts. Now, I know that we probably have differences and believe different things. And maybe you believe that what I think is awful. But I'm telling you, that I'm willing to sit here and make a deal with you. I will care for you if you care for me. A lot of people won't care for you, will profess it. There are organizations in this world that say, I hate this group, and if I encounter them, I will kill them. I don't like them, I never like them. They make it clear that they will never be there for you. The world is full of that. So wouldn't it be wonderful if every time somebody who said, I will care for you if you care for me, was taken up on it. And you say, all right, I'll enter into that agreement with you. And maybe it would spread and suddenly we'd care for one another. All you have to do to break that is to say, I will never care for that other person. I will never help them. I had a religious person come to my door one time, and I will engage everybody in a conversation, and not in a condescending way. I'm not messing with them or anything. I truly, truly, truly want to hear what they have to say. Also, when I'm in the presence of others, I can't help connecting and wanting to be friends. It's weird. I'm sorry, especially on public transport. I know it's not appropriate. You might not want to be my friend, but when I see another human being, I feel like we're meeting in outer space, and we're in a Star Wars bar, and everything is strange, and some people have noses that are shaped like big, like trumpets, or ears that are shaped like trumpets. Oh, that's Shrek. Or something like that, or big, look funny. And then I see across the room, I spot you, another human being. Friend, are you from Earth? I'm from Earth. And we strike up a conversation. So you know what? You and I, if we're both from Earth, we are literally related. We are family. So someone comes to my door, religious person. I'm talking to him for a while, and I think we're hitting it off. I know we have theological differences. That's fine, man. The Bible's dense, and it was a Bible-based one. And he said to me something about belief, and I said, so if my house
was burning down, would you help me escape the fire if I didn't profess to believe the same thing as you? And he said to me, no. Honest to goodness. He said, no. And I said, are you sure I'm hearing you right? Because, friend, so you're saying if somebody doesn't believe what you believe, you wouldn't even help them? No. Oh, that's very strange. Very strange to me. I didn't know what to make of that. I said, that's funny, because, you know, right now you're trusting me, because you're standing in my driveway, and I'm a big old man with very large arms and anger issues, which I've managed to suppress, and everything's fine now. But you're here now, you trust me enough to come up here, but now you're saying you wouldn't even, you're looking me in the face and telling you wouldn't even help me. Now, I'll continue to care for you and you help me, but you're putting up a bit of a block there. You gotta give a little something to me. Oh, I was devastated for a while. I thought, I can't believe that. I thought that everybody deep down, I mean, when it comes to push come to shove, you know, you do it in an emergency. And you know what? I think he's lying. I think back on it, and I think he's lying. I think he would help. You don't know, sometimes in a stressful thing, bullets start flying, and all of a sudden you're dragging somebody out of the way. Like that, I saw it just happen. Not in person. I mean, I read about it. And you don't think. You just see another person, and you want to help, hopefully. I don't know how to solve the world's problems, but I know it probably involves some sort of meal. What are you eating right now? Oh, I want you to feel fulfilled and full. I want you to have some sort of gravy. It doesn't have to be made out of animal if you don't like that. Or if I do like it, Hardy. Well, then you go ahead and, I don't know. I just don't take stands. Do them wishy-washy. I say essentially this. I think I'm a good neighbor. I think I'm kind to be around, but I know that I'm confusing, and I know that ultimately I'm just here to mess things up a bit and confuse people so that they forget to hurt one another. That's all. I'm actually not the fella coming to tell you to be good to one another. I'm actually the fella telling you you should go through all your drawers and look for tiny little magic fairies for the next 20 years, and hopefully that will keep you from getting mad and going after somebody or something like that. See what I'm talking about? Preoccupy yourself. Find some other way to channel your confusion than anger and fear. Oh, I do it with my imagination. I pretend I'm different people. I pretend I'm different places. I like to get on a ship. Hey, I'm going to sail to America with the pilgrims. Here we are on the ship. Hey, pilgrims. What are y'all, why are y'all looking at me like that? Oh, you think I'm magic and everything. That's why you're coming at me with shovels and stuff like that. I see what's going on. Back up, I'm going to transport myself off this ship. Bad idea. I'm going to imagine I'm somewhere else, like Six Flags. Bless your heart. Goodbye. I wish I had some cornbread right now. How do I do that? I'm going to have to make it. Oh, sometimes it's not enough to pray or wish for a world. You got to go make the cornbread. It's not going to make itself. You say, I want a memorable, beautiful, blessed evening. Okay, it's not going to make itself. You can make it. You're the one. You sit there. You be beautiful. You refuse to be awful. You refuse to have fear and hatred. Now things will have a better chance of going well. I'm going to read you now from my grandmother's recipe book. I have it right in front of me. I don't. I have it committed to memory. And I don't have all the recipes committed to memory. But I do have her comments that she would write on the very top of the corner of the recipes. And I'm going to read them right now. Good. Very good. Not so good. Lou loves. Make again. Good. That's what she put on there. She'd always have just a couple words like that describing it. And I thought, what's one of them? She said, never make again. Awful. And yet it was still there. So we'll perhaps just remove it from the book. But my grandmother thought, well, I better tell myself this is awful, because what if I see the recipe somewhere else and I forget that's the same thing and I make it? It's terrible. Who knows? If it was, I don't know, it was a ham chunk and soy sauce soup or something. Nobody knows. But she had it. She kept it. She kept the good and the bad. My grandmother's recipe book is like the Bible. It has stories that aren't necessarily good or bad.
They just tell you how to get there. I'm not going to tell you whether this recipe, that whether coating a salmon with some kind of pink icing is a good or bad thing. I'm just going to tell you this. This is how you make it, and my grandfather didn't care for it. Now do what you want. But that's how stories go. I tell you a story about people, and I don't tell you whether they're good and bad, because they're both. And it's not some model for behavior. It's to tell you what the consequences are. The first time somebody tried to jam an entire turkey leg in their mouth, they started to choke to death because of that bone. And then they learned. And then the story of the bone-choking turkey leg man went on and was passed on for generations. And people said, let's just slice the meat off of it. And then we just bypass the bone danger altogether. I'm trying so hard not to make a pun off of bone danger. I know, it's tough, but I'm in therapy now for it. People don't care for it. It's sort of an old fella thing. It's fake clever, maybe is what it is. I always thought that. I always thought punning was a really good indicator that you weren't paying attention to the content of what's being said. And I noticed that a lot when people pun during my eulogy for my aunt. So you're not really, you don't know what's going on here. You're just listening to the words I say and you're not paying attention to the feeling I'm trying to convey. I have now this opportunity to speak to you on Thanksgiving. I have this opportunity to have my voice go out to my fellow countrymen and my fellow citizens of the world. And you wonder, what should I say? I've gotten about, I don't know how far I am through my life, and I've had a lot of experiences. I don't have too much advice outside of very just silly practical things. And I don't know that I even have a philosophy or a religion particularly. And I'll probably go to my grave just as confused as I was when I was a young man. But I can say one thing about my life experience so far. And that is, pain sucks a lot. That it feels good to be cared for. That it feels bad to be hungry. And that stuff gets real. And the pain gets worse than you can ever imagine. Because there's not just physical pain in this life. There's mental anguish as well. And what we have on this earth is a hell. And the hell lives behind mirrors. It lives right next to us. It's invisible. We can't see it. It's around some fold in space. It's like another possibility always waiting to happen to bring that pain into the world. And you don't want that. You don't want that. It doesn't go away. And your heart will be tormented. But I'll tell you what. If you love and you have peace in your heart and you put away that anger, I don't know what you have to do. Take a deep breath. Something. Then things get a little bit better. And you can avoid some of that pain. And we can help each other do that. We can all help together. I know that sounds silly and trite, but certainly together we can do that. And you can't do it alone. Oh, bless you, my friends. So what if I do it unilaterally and I'm destroyed? Oh, you will be anyway. Go out laughing. Go out with joy. Go out on the right side of things. Go out on the joy on the right side of the righteous fight for joy and peace. Be on the right side of love. Oh, you know in your heart it's the right side. It's the side of everything you like. Thanksgiving dinner and everything that's sweet and good. Parades and music and fun time. They all bloom out of love. Love is beautiful mulch, thick rotten mushrooms and things. And out of it we can get the sweet of life grows and sustains us. All the things we like, art, music, dance, all the things that brings us joy. Come on now.
Come on now. Be for life. Be for love. I know it's hard. You need a meal to sustain you. Oh, the earth brings such good food forth, like pudding. All sorts of pudding. The earth brings forth puddings. Sometimes from a geyser up in the earth, it'll come on the what happens is it below the earth's core, it'll take milk and sugar and all, and it will compress it between the layers of rock like that. And then when there's tectonic movement, some of the pudding will come shooting up out of rocks, mostly in national parks. And people be out there with their bowls and say, I like this one. I'm going to go get some tapioca to put in it. And they say, just wait just a minute. Tapioca going to shoot out of there too, because tapioca are made deep within the earth. Oh, yes, you know that. They're like geodes or something. And they bring joy, don't they? Because they're bubbles. And bubbles is where we get the word effervescent, and effervescent is what some wonderful personalities are, people that we call bubbly, people who bring us joy, people who seem positive. Oh, surround yourself with positive people, and it'll be like positive people bubble wrap. Oh, effervescent people are the bubble wrap alive. Put them around you, and you won't break a thing. Oh, I feel so fragile sometimes. My heart feels like it's made out of bleak china. It's a very thin Irish china. Oh, my mother has such a nice teacup of it. But it's wafer thin. Thinner than a wafer. What's thinner than a wafer? What's that stuff they make out of weed? Shatter. It's like that. So, you know, it's going to break. And you don't want that. You know? And you don't want that, so surround yourself. Protect yourself. I protect myself with armor. Hardy White, I put on a suit of armor like I'm a knight. I say, what's it made out of? You go, I honestly do not know. I thought it was stainless steel. I said, I don't think they had stainless steel back in the old days. I say, well, whatever. This is a sort of new one, so I think it might be. And it looks like, and it does. Yours looks like a DeLorean. That's a nice suit of armor. No, I'm thinking I was going to have a criticism about it because I equate it with, you know, anger. And people put on, you know, a shell. They put up, they inure themselves. They put something around themselves so they don't have to feel things, because feeling is difficult. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm a soft little turtle without my shell. I'm a soft little turtle. And then when I have my shell on, I feel I can do anything. So I start harassing people. No, I don't do that. But I feel like I do things because, oh, I don't want to be hurt. Who wants to be poked in their turtle tummy like that? It's soft. I don't want anybody to make soup out of me. So I carry around my house on my back. So that's what they say about turtles. But that's baloney, because they all have a proper house. I saw Franklin. Franklin comes home to his mother and father. They live in some kind of Flintstone house. It's nice. It's a cartoon, but that's neither here nor there. It's based on fact. And Franklin's little friend's a little bear who likes blueberries. Yeah, I know all this. Yeah, I watched it. Why wouldn't I? So why can't I watch Gentle Things? Why everything has to be ironic? Why does everything have to have an edge to it? Sometimes I don't want an edge to nothing. You know? I don't want edge. I put on underwear. I don't want it to be sharp and edgy. You see what I'm saying? I don't want anything near my soft parts that's going to poke me and make me feel pain. I don't like it all the time. So some people want to feel the pain, feel like they're alive. I say, I tell you, pain finds you. It will find you. It's like Bill Collector or something. It'll find you. So as you go looking for it, oh, bless your hearts, I'm going to go out and look for it. Don't look for it. It'll come to you. I always said that, not the case with any dog I've had. I've had a lot of dogs that kind of run away-y, you know, and they don't really come back. You got to chase them with bacon. What in your life do you have to chase with bacon? And what will just come back to you? What are you talking about, man? I don't know, man. I was thinking about food again. I might have overeaten, you know, because, I've had my aunt used to make too much food. She knew what she was doing. to. She'd make all that food, and then we were all, oh, I can't move, Amarita, don't make me eat nothing more. And then she'd say, no, I won't, you just go. And then we'd fall asleep, and she'd take our wallets. Every single year, I'd fall for it. And I'd like, oh, my cash is gone, and my buy one, get one, buy 10, get one free dog food, little punchy card. Shouldn't even have a dog. That's low. So I know that. I'm on to that now. Now I just eat a little bit. Also, she's dead, so I don't have to go through that and all. But when I do anybody's family now, I'm suspicious. I don't know what you're trying to do. Get me into some kind of food coma or something. And is it immoral to have all that abundance like that when there's other people that don't have any food? Depends. I don't know. I guess, I don't know. It is some, who know? Yes, no, no, yes, no, yes. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. I don't know. Food, I'm thankful. Is making being thankful make up for it? So all I know, no, not everyone's eating. So I know to be thankful. What does that mean? So I'll thank God or something. Well, if you don't believe in God, who are you thanking? Well, I guess I'm thanking you. How do you think I got the food? Well, I guess you went and bought it. So who are you thanking? What are you thanking, Publix? Well, no, I guess I don't know. I don't know who I'm thanking. I tell you what, man, we're responsible for who gets our food. You got to know where it comes from. You go out there and start paying attention. If it's bad food, you're contributing to that. You need to go out thankful. You want other people to eat? You got to go out and give them food. Doesn't magically happen. So who's going to do it? There's some brilliant fella out there who's going to do it. I just have to support him. Next time he asks me for money to feed the poor, I'm going to give it to him. So nobody ever goes out and say, I think I'm going to seek out some poor. Some of you do. Do I? No. I'm talking to myself right now. And say, why are you telling me to do something that you're not going to do? I don't know. I might do it. I'm talking to myself right now. You're just listening. Because I'm an incomplete person, because I'm not perfect. So this time of year, around the time that people give thanks, I say to myself, what can I do to not just give thanks, but to make happen? What can I do? What can I start doing? What fears must I overcome this year? So I can go out there and start really being for peace, really being for full bellies. What can I do? You know, I try not to content myself with being a selfish pain in the butt, which is what I am. I try to continually grow until I'm dead. There's no point not to, because I'm trying to maximize greatest joy. Come on with me. We're going to maximize greatest joy. I know you got all sorts of flaws the same way I do. I know that you struggle with things, and maybe you're not the brightest person in the world. Maybe you are the brightest person in the world, and that's a lot of pressure for you. I don't know where your troubles are. You may be discouraged with things. I'm ineffectual. Maybe you have some kind of personality. People don't want to be around you. Oh, I cry for you. I know what it is to be lonely. But I tell you what, you can still join this organization. It doesn't have any real structure. You can just join up by saying, I am struggling for joy. I'm going to be part of this joy army. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make things better. I'm going to start taking a deep breath and thinking more. I'm going to stop giving in to my fear all the time. It's my biggest obstacle, for sure. Keeps me from doing all sorts of things. Man, I'd like to travel more. But I know I've got these fears. And I'm getting better too. That's how I know that I'm working. Because every year gets a little bit better. I get a little bit stronger. I can do a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? My conscience starts to talk to me. I say, I'm on the radio. And I spend a lot of my time doing jokes and everything, which is good. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. But then I say to myself, it's a unique opportunity. I hear other people speaking on the radio and speaking on the TV. And maybe they're not saying, maybe got agendas and things like that. What could I do? I can't tell people what to do. I know what I'll do. I'll just be honest about what I feel. I'll be honest about what's happened to me or something. I won't tell people what to do. I'll just give them more evidence that maybe they're okay. If you like me, and I'm like you, that's good. That's good. That means we're both lovable. Do you understand? Oh, my goodness. I want you to feel that peace in your heart, friend. Y'all asleep, aren't you? I know it. I knew it. I knew it. Everyone's asleep. That's why it's so quiet, because of the food. Those of you who are eating turkey, that will put you out cold. Oh, my goodness. So I know what's going on. You're all asleep. That's all right. Maybe I should just hum a song to you. Sing something beautiful to you. Make a nice end of the... I'll pretend... I know. I'll do a little comedy routine. Welcome to the football game of the Thanksgiving. Join, I'm Hardy White, the sportscaster. Join me now as we look on the field. The two teams are coming out. We got one team on the left is wearing blue, and the other one's wearing another shade of blue. And the one team is called the University of... I'm calling... I can't think on my feet very well, so this is going to be tough. It sounds funny when the others do it. But I find that I overthink things. Now I'm thinking of a team name. I'm going to go through about a million of them. You know, sometimes I think, well, if I just start talking, a word will come out. Say, and the first football team's name are the University of... It doesn't work all the time. Sometimes something will come out. Other times it won't. I try to put my head on autopilot. You know, a lot of cars now almost drive themselves. Almost. What they do is they actually convince the driver that they're driving themselves. So the driver becomes, hey, I can do even more now because the car's doing so much. Puts on its windshield wipers, puts on its lights by itself, all that stuff. All I have to do is shifts by itself. So I can basically just type on my phone. Okay, oh, it's not completely on autopilot. That's what you think. I put my brain on autopilot, on auto drive cruise control. But cruise control doesn't mean self-driving car. And you are likely to get into an accident if you put your life on cruise control. I'm telling you, flip that thing off. Take hold of that wheel. Put your foot on the accelerator or on the brake, whatever's appropriate. And you start driving yourself wherever you need to go and wherever you want to go. And this life is a lot shorter than you think it is. And I know that by talking to people just about to die who go, this life is a lot shorter than you think it is. I go, okay, thanks for the advice. I believe you because you are dying.
Pass the gravy, please.
Sure.
Could you pass the green beans, please?
Absolutely.
Could someone please pass the potatoes?
Coming right up.
Did this side of the table get turkey?
Is that quinoa or bulgur?
That's my quinoa and parsley salad.
All right.
You want some?
I'm good.
Could you pass the cranberry jello mold?
Careful.
Who did not get mashed potatoes?
I got mashed potatoes. What I didn't get was 2001 A Space Odyssey. What the heck with the ending?
Also, where's my sweet potato casserole with the marshmallows? It's still in the kitchen. You want me to get it?
Lord, no. I was worried someone would have some. I hate watching people eat that.
I like it.
God bless you.
It's wonderful being with all of you. I was wondering if we could go around the table and all say what we're thankful for. Lou, do you want to start?
I said it earlier in the show. Come on.
Oh, okay. Butchie?
I'm thankful for lots of stuff.
Anything in particular?
No, not really.
Okay. Hands?
Pass.
Really? You can't think of anything?
Not on the spot like this. It's embarrassing. I didn't know we'd be required to perform.
Okay, it's cool. Jose?
Oh, I was thinking about something else. Please get back to me.
Okay, Ed?
Oh, dear. I'm terribly thankful for a great many things. My family, my friends, my health, my little dog, Cooper, certain wines and different foods, many aspects of television and the entertainment business. I'm thankful for my health, especially my memory, my family and friends, my little dog, Trooper, certain wines, my crackerjack memory.
Very good. Mr. Bourgeoisie?
Oh, I'm not the wordsmith. You are, Hardy.
Oh, you can do it. Also, I'm not a wordsmith.
Oh, you're some sort of smith, though, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you said you did iron work.
Well, I do some ironing.
Oh, I'm confused. You don't have an anvil in your office?
I don't really have an office.
Do you know that Longfellow poem, "Under the spreading chestnut tree, the village smithy stands"?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Good to know.
Does anyone else feel weird?
I feel a little strange.
Anyone seeing beings made of light that are sort of jumping back and forth off the table?
No.
I am.
I feel fine.
It might be my quinoa salad. I substituted some kind of hallucinogen for the parsley.
Butchie,
The lady at the store said it was fine.
No, it's not fine. There's a great football game being played in the gravy boat.
I see it. Go Lumps.
I don't know about your family, but every Thanksgiving after we eat, everybody say, Hardy, go get your bass guitar. We're going to sing the Thanksgiving thankful song. I say, oh, that's great. We love to do this. So we gather around the fire, and I get the old bass out. The chord's kind of staticky. And then we sing a song called Constant State of Thanks. This is a song been in my family for a long time. It goes like this. Sing it if you know it. When you open the door, I say thanks. When you pass the peas, I say thanks. When you help lift some furniture, I say thanks. I say thanks because I recognize your kindness and that makes me want to be kind. When the sun comes up, I say thanks. When you hand me my change, I say thanks. When you pick up the notebook that I dropped in the street and run it to me, that kindness overwhelms me. When you cry with me, I say thanks. When you celebrate with me, I say thanks. When you listen to me ramble about things I don't know and not make me feel stupid, I can't thank you enough. Life is good, I say thanks. When life is bad, I still say thanks, cause you're wiping my tears and that makes me feel loved. Oh, when the food is good, I say thanks. When the food is bad, I still say thanks. When the rain comes down, I say thanks, cause food is food and we need the rain too.
Oh, friends, I say thanks all the time. I try to be in a constant state of thankfulness. Why is that? Because thankfulness means that you recognize kindness. And not only that, you recognize where the kindness is coming from. You. And then it inspires you to be kind. That's what thankfulness is. It's having your eyes opened to the chain of kindness. Oh, that's a good kind of chain to be on. I want to be chained up with that. Also, like decorative chains. I wouldn't mind gold chains and all. I think some of them are super sharp. And I would not also mind having maybe my initials on a gold chain or something. I think that'd be kind of neat. Hey, I know it's hard to be grateful sometimes, or it's hard to be thankful maybe when other people aren't. It's hard to give something and not get it back. You know what I'm saying? It's like if a little child's always waving to people, and they don't wave back. You wave into somebody, and oh, they don't wave back as they pass. Then somebody does, and the child's excited and he's happy, but he doesn't stop waving. He doesn't stop waving just because people don't wave back, because he's got to wave at everybody to get any waves back. You're not going to get 100%. Nobody bats 100% of anything. You love people, you're not going to be loved back 100%. You be kind to people, you're not going to get kindness back 100%. Some of the time you will. But I'll tell you what, if you don't sit down at the card game, you're not going to win anything. If you don't sit down to the table, you can't play. And you can't play, you don't win. So if you don't put yourself out there, you don't ever do anything, then you will get nothing back. But so don't not love because you think you're not going to get love back. Don't be not thankful because you think you're not going to get it back. I'm telling you, you're doing it on the off chance that you do get something. And then, oh, you'll see that that is what life is about. That makes it worth it. And I'll tell you, maybe if it wasn't rare, it wouldn't be worth that much. But when you really encounter thankfulness and kindness, if you're a feeling person, you know how that makes you feel. So, man, go out there and spread it. All you boys and girls, go out there, be kind to one another. Take that thankfulness that you're feeling in right now, that tenderness, and just bring it with you all the time. You're going to need it to change this world. Oh, be able to make it one big, beautiful, long dining table that we can all sit at, and all the people of the world are spilling all sorts of sauces and stuff on it. You, my friend, are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, and 91.9.
shine in blessed Rockland County, where the pilgrims first landed, oh, on Plymouth, Rockland County. Oh, my friends, thank you for joining me, and I will see you again next week. Much love, much peace, and most importantly, thank you.
Jerry Cobb, this is Dorothy Thomas calling you. We have a new preacher now, and a good one, and a Bible preacher, too. And come on back now to the Lord before it's too late. It ain't, you know, the world is not getting any better. It's getting worse and worse all the time. So the Lord will come any time, and these Christians are the ones supposed to be looking for him. Come on back. I remember when you used to hang in there. Please come back to the Lord. Please. Bye-bye.
I'm